This is Dabu, 7. We have breaking reports at the moment stating that all prisons in the state of Delaware are now on lockdown after they're saying the Vaughn Correctional Center, which is the largest prison in the state, apparently has seen this inmate uprise where they have taken over a building. And some of the reports, I haven't got a confirmation on this, but this is a breaking 911. They're saying that 5 officers are being held hostage. Now, what they are saying for sure is that they have activated their emergency response team, which is like their SWAT team that they're going to send in here to deal with this. But apparently, they have taken over a full building inside this compound, inside this facility. And at the moment, they're locking down all other prisons. So we don't have a lot of information in regards to this. They do have helicopters that are swarming. They did show a clip here over on this channel from a distance of the team gathering up front, but then they cut it. There's no word if they've cut the electricity or power to where they are. Now that's key because they could be watching a TV, trying to get a bead on what they're doing. And that's also why some of the information in a situation like this is kept under wraps. They don't want to give away their position, what they're doing, and let the guys on the inside know, so to speak, and they could just be sitting there watching the TV and trying to stay a step ahead of them, so to speak. But there was reports of smoke coming from the area as well. Look here, hostages taken. Smoke reported at the facility. And like I said, their emergency response team deployed. So all the prisons in Delaware on lockdown. I will continue to update as I hear more information on this, but it seems like it's in one building specifically at the moment. Like I said, as I get more details, I will update on Twitter. Make sure you're following me there. And until next time, this has been Dabu 7. Peace.
Thank you, Dabu 7. From what I understand, folks, that whole thing in Delaware has come to an end. One correctional officer was killed. There was a correctional worker, female, who was actually protected by the prisoners. She came out alive, thank God. Folks, the prison system is broken. These guys need to be rehabilitated. They need to be treated better. I know that they're prisoners. Some of them have done heinous crimes, but yet, maybe they want to get rehabilitated. Maybe they want to learn something different. That's what the correctional system should be about. Unfortunately, it isn't all the time. Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Noah Kwan at your-poetry.com, or on SoundCloud and Pinterest. Listen, a little compassion, folks. Just a little compassion. Anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Thank you. free speech. And this used to be a fucking school?
Fuck white trash!
This is a school?
Fuck white trash!
This is a school!
Yeah? What are you gonna do about it?
Anyway, like any set of ideas, Islam is like a religion. Any set of ideas, it deserves to be scrutinized. Well, I have scrutinized it, and I have found it wanting. I have found it lacking. Everywhere there is Islam, you will find women oppressed. Everywhere there is Islam, you will find... You're wearing a hijab in the United States of America. What is wrong with you? You see, they want to shout you down by saying, oh, what about me? I'm not so oppressed. Well, let's move on from women if you don't care about female genital mutilation, don't care about forced marriages, don't care about acid thrown in the faces of your Islamic sisters. If you don't care about any of those things, fine. Let's talk about gays instead. In 12 Islamic countries, I could be killed for my sexuality. Is that okay? People, 100 million people live in countries where it is illegal to be homosexual. All of those countries are Islamic. This is not an ISIS thing. You know, you will see gays being thrown off the roof in ISIS-controlled territories. But this has nothing to do with terrorism. This is mainstream Muslim culture. Your religion does it everywhere your religion exists. It is a threat, an existential threat to gay people. Everywhere in the world there is Islam, you will find women oppressed, homosexuals murdered, you will find gang rape. Now, there's a unique phenomenon that it doesn't really exist outside of Islamic cultures, of familial gang rape, where fathers, brothers and cousins go out raping people together. It happened in Rotherham in the UK. And the liberal establishment in the UK didn't investigate this because, according to a government report, not a far right-wing blog, according to a government report, 1,400 young girls were raped in racially or religiously, as you choose to define it, motivated crimes, because both the police and the authorities were too scared of being called racist to intervene. And this pattern repeats itself everywhere there is mass Muslim immigration. My suggestion to you, America, is that you don't need it here. Learn your lesson from 9/11. Learn your lesson from Orlando. These socially regressive hours, see, they walk out when they don't like the facts. These socially regressive attitudes. These socially regressive attitudes of Muslims in the West are horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. The surveys show that 52% of British Muslims think that my sex life should be made illegal. 39% of them. Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving? Don't you want to talk about numbers? Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed of the hateful culture that surrounds your religion, that oppresses women and murders homosexuals and commits unspeakable acts of terrorism? Are you ashamed of it? Would you like to talk to us about why there's no global Muslim peace movement? Because I hear lots of very upset people at my talks complaining about statistics they can't refute. I don't hear a lot of Muslims standing up against terrorism. Or whether it is some of the Islamic hate crime hoaxes we've been seeing more recently. And these happen with alarming frequency. In fact, my research team has struggled to find a supposed hate crime against Muslims on an American college campus that did not turn out to be fake. I'll tell you about some of them. One student at the University of Louisiana admitted her attack was completely fabricated. She made the whole thing up because Trump supporters attacking a Muslim woman is simply believable to liberals fed a steady diet of hate by fake news. This is a rare instance of the lying media actually admitting that one of its cherished hate crimes was a hoax. Normally they just move on quickly and never mention it again. Yasmin Sawi, just 18 years old in New York City, made up a similar story. She said three men called her a terrorist and attacked her, telling her to get out of the country. Again, it was fake. But you won't read the corrections, you only read the outrage. And here's a brand new one that can't be blamed on Trump supporters because it took place in Austria. A 14-year-old girl claimed she was attacked and that evil white men tried to rip off her hijab on a train. The police revealed it to be a complete fabrication as well. And a little closer to home. Oh, we're still having trouble at the back.
Three down.
I think if you take the second left, the airport is just Actually, no, we don't want them there, do we? It's a bit of a problem, actually. I hadn't really thought this through.
Okay, folks, you're listening to JDR. This is Views with a Twist. A lot of you may hate me for what I'm about to say. The first clip that you heard was all that uproar and the rioting that they were doing in California against Milo Breitbart's speech. The second was Milo Breitbart's speech, you know, and I don't see anything wrong with it. I actually don't see anything wrong with what the man said. I mean, because he's actually right. Everything he said was factual. And so I don't understand what the problem is. He's not a hate monger. The guy's gay. I mean, he said it. He's gay. He's not a hate monger. He's just coming out and saying not what he feels, but what is actually going on. Now, a lot of you are going to say, well, you know what? That's hate towards Muslims. No, it's not hate towards Muslims. What he said was actually what the Muslim religion seems to be about. Now, I don't want to put down the Muslim religion. I don't want to put down any religion. But a religion that doesn't allow gays, a religion that has their women walk around showing nothing but their eyes, and they have to walk six paces behind the men. They're not allowed to converse with the men. There's no family conversation. Maybe there is family conversation. But like if there's a party, I don't think Muslims have parties. I don't know. But the women stay on one side and the men stay on the other side. Listen, if that's your thing, fine. Here's my problem. I'm an ex-military man. I'm going to tell you. Here's my problem. Why bring that to my country? I did not vote for Trump. Let me tell you that first. I did not vote for Trump. But I've always had a problem with that. I mean, we allow you to come here. You can build your mosque. You can go on, you know, do your thing, whatever. And then I see a woman dressed in all black from head to toe, and the only thing I see from her is her eyes. That makes me kind of nervous, to be honest with you. It makes me kind of nervous. And the other thing is, why do you want to bring that to my country? I know this is a democratic country. We let everybody in. We let everybody do their thing. But you know what? There should be some sort of honor to the United States of America. You want to live here? Like they say, when in Rome, do like the Romans do. Well, they're refusing to do like the Romans do. They want to do what they want to do. So don't be surprised if someone comes out and say, what the hell are you doing? Why the hell are you here bringing that upon my country when we are fighting your and he's right. You never hear a Muslim get up and say anything against terrorism. They don't. But when you attack their religion, that's when they get upset. Personally, I never have an argument, or not an argument, but I never have a discussion with any Muslim person, any Jewish person for that matter, about religion or politics. Because it's going to go awry. It's going to go awry. And I'm saying, listen, you're in my country. Please give my country a little bit of respect. Don't bring your stuff in here and say, oh, wow, we're in America. We can do what the hell we want. We're going to build the mosque. We're going to all, you know, just, you know, have our women. But we're going to be against gays and against this and whatever. And, you know, if it's, if America gets bombed by an Islamic country, well, too bad. No, I'm sorry. It can't be that way. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Okay? It's not. That's just simply not the way it's supposed to be. If you're going to live in my, if I live in your country, I got to go by your laws. I have to go by what you tell me is right and wrong. You come here, we're not telling you what's right and wrong other than the standard laws. We're going to allow you to do everything, but what you do is you take advantage of it. You take advantage of it, and it gets a little bit out of hand. I don't see anything wrong with what Breitbart was saying. And if you watch that video, which is really pretty funny, actually, he's got a police... He's got a vest on. Police on the front, police on the back. It's a bulletproof vest. I don't know if the vest was real or not. I don't know if he was just putting that on as a gag. I have no idea because it didn't look like a real vest. It just looked like something he bought out of, you know, some sort of kitschy store. But I don't see anything wrong in what he said. And the whole uproar in California, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Because the guy, they're saying he's right wing. Well, maybe he's right wing. That only means that he's Republican. It doesn't mean that he's a racist or anything. And apparently he doesn't seem to be. And he's English. I mean, if he was really like one of these Aryan race guys, I would be so pissed off that some English guy comes in here and starts some Aryan race bullshit. I would be upset to the max. But what he said, it was fine. He's telling the truth. He didn't say anything outside of the truth. He wasn't making up facts. He was telling facts. And when people get upset because you tell the truth, that's because they have a problem with the truth. And that's an unfortunate thing. You're listening to Views with a Twist. JDR, I'll be back.
You've got planned. Carry your cup in your hand. the ground, leaves are brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around, the grass is high, the fields are ripe. Scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. Won't you stop and remember me?
Another night of violent protests at another college campus over another controversial speaker. Conservative speaker and Vice Media co-founder Gavin McGinnis was scheduled to speak at New York University last night at an event organized by a Republican group on campus. Before the speech began, protesters gathered outside the building where McGinnis was scheduled to appear. He was hit with pepper spray on his way inside, according to a university spokesman.
Can I ask you this? I'm sorry. I'm sure I should know this guy. Who is this guy? They're doing this for a guy I've never even heard of. I heard of that other guy.
I'm not laughing at the seriousness.
No, I'm just saying, who is that guy that they're like blowing stuff up? Who is Alex McGinnis?
Gavin.
Is he a historian or something? Did he write?
What's his name? Was his name
North and South or something, or what? Who is he?
He's from Vice Media, conservative guy. He said some inflammatory things.
Is Vice conservative?
Some people within it. I don't think, generally speaking.
I never heard of the guy.
No.
He is apparently a Canadian writer, actor, comedian, and co-founder of Vice Media and host of the Gavin McGinnis Show on Compound Media.
Huh. Well, so they hate him because he's Canadian. So now we're doing this in Canada.
Now I feel sympathy for them.
I'm sure there's some reason why the anarchists went that way. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So shortly after McGinnis' speech began, people started to curse at him and shove one another.
You gotta stop that.
Several people reportedly were arrested.
Larry O'Connor, oh my lord. What's going on here?
Well, first of all, I
read a book called The Closing of the American Mind back in law school, 800 years ago. Mm-hmm.
That book was controversial when it came out.
Now, of course, people like Condi Rice and Christine Lagarde are pressured from speaking at commencements.
That's right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It's not new. I mean, I just spoke with Michelle Malkin on my show yesterday on WMAL in D.C., and she said, yeah, they did this when I had my book at Berkeley 10 years ago. They didn't have bonfires and riots and this kind of thing, but this is a real danger for the left and for Democrats. You know, if Democrats were smart, if Cory Booker were smart, he would ask Rachel Maddow to join him with Milo Yiannopoulos, with Ben Shapiro, and escort them onto a college campus and say, no, this is not what we do in America. If we disagree, we listen, and then we argue with our points. This is ridiculous. And Democrats, by their silence, the left, by their silence, they're getting locked in with this. To the American people's eyes, to citizens across this country, they see opposition to Trump and opposition of conservative values as violent thugs. That's not a good thing.
Well, and every time you see the protests, I remember growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia, called Doraville, when I was really young, David Ignatius. And I'll tell you what, every time we saw college campuses burning, it just scared the hell out of my parents and made them more conservative. In fact, they were Democrats their entire life. My woman and dad was Republican. My mom was a Democrat entire life. The whole family were Democrats. And after the chaos of the late 60s, I think in 1972, they started voting Republican and never looked back. They were scared to death by what they saw on their TV sets.
I think you put your finger on it. Donald Trump is seeking to create a new majority of people who felt left out, who feel that the elites ignore them. Bannon is a brilliant articulator of that strategy. What? And Democrats need to be careful that they don't play into that. that they don't seem exactly like the people that folks in the middle of the country feel ignore them, take their own interests above other people's.
One of the things Democrats have to understand, first of all, it is reprehensible that we don't allow people to come on college campuses and speak. If you disagree, go and ask the questions. I hope that Rachel Maddow and other Rachel, who is phenomenal in this network, will go and do those kind of things. Democrats are playing a prevent defense while Donald Trump and his team are playing the most imaginative offense, relentless in their daring. If we don't understand and appreciate this, we're going to be not only left behind, we're going to find ourselves not in power for a long time. We cannot sit back and watch him and say, gosh, this is terrible, he's awful, and only say that. We have to offer ideas to challenge him. And if you're going to block people from speaking who you disagree with and not offer challenge and offer optionality and offer something different, we're going to find ourselves sitting here on the sidelines for a long, long time.
As a Democrat, you have to resist, but you also have to engage.
You have to be proactive. You have to offer ideas.
And you have to engage. And just like I said, in the Republican primary, stop being shocked and stunned. Stop fainting. Stop going on your fainting couch. And start mocking. Start ridiculing the stupidity of the ideas that you oppose.
And offer a different direction.
And offer, Caddy Kay, offer a different direction. And Caddy, I'm wondering, is this an American phenomenon as far as sort of this, the chilling of free speech on college campuses? Or does this happen in Britain? Does this happen across Europe?
The idea of safe spaces on campuses, i.e. safe spaces for progressives and liberals' viewpoints, does seem to be a relatively recent and particularly American phenomenon. I'm not hearing the same thing about British universities or European universities, that people are being offered invitations to speak and they're not able to go and speak at them. And you're quite... Look, of course, we have to engage in dialogue, and everybody should be able to go and speak on that campuses. And that is the lifeblood of democracy, is to be able to hear different points of views. There is a moment, I think, where protest can be useful. I mean, in fact, America's been remarkably free of street protests since the Vietnam War. We had, after 2008, you had many more violent, much bigger protests on the streets of Europe, because Europeans still look to the state to help them and support them, and the state wasn't doing that. And there's a moment for protest here possibly too. And, you know, look at the different reaction to the women's marches and to the protests that happened spontaneously after the immigration ban, for example, was implemented, and the lawyers turning up at the airports. And I think most people looked at those and thought, that's the way, if you're going to protest, that's the way you do it, right? And whether it achieves anything, who knows? But if you believe that there's a role for street protests in democracy, they were a shining example of how to do it.
Protests, great. Couple rules here. Let's not burn things, and let's not tear up Starbucks and loot Bank of America.
Definitely not Starbucks.
Or Bank of America.
Or Bank of America.
ATM machine.
I just think this conversation is taking place. There have been some incidents. This incident is really bad. These things should not happen. There should not be violence. Right. People should be allowed to speak. But in the larger context here, there are like dozens, since Trump has taken office, there have been dozens, huge protests that we've taken notice of in the media and across the country.
That's great.
I think Democrats are not engaging right now. In fact, quite the contrary. I think like what you're seeing right now, whether it gets channeled to effective uses in terms of recapturing a Democratic majority in the House or Senate, which I think is the ultimate goal down the line 2 years from now, we don't know that yet. But right now, the energy that Democrats have on their side and the lack of popularity of the current president now, I don't think Democrats are retreating at all. It seems to me like they're engaging.
New York Times here, headline, anarchists vow to halt far right's rise with violence if needed.
Bad idea.
And I've got to say, I think there's a debate on how popular this president is. I know there was a Quinnipiac poll that had him at 36 last week. The NBC, I mean, Gallup has him at 42-43%. I saw a PPP poll, though, that had all of these negative headlines. And then he ended up being at like 45-46% approval, 48 disapproval. I'm not so sure that David Ignatius isn't right. They may know exactly what they're doing as far as inciting this type of reaction and watching it work in their favor. You know, it's very important to remember that from 68 to 72, There were constant protests out in the street. I mean, the May Day protest, Kent State, it was horrific. It looked like the world was coming to an end. Richard Nixon went from barely beating Hubert Humphrey in 68 to winning 49 states in 1972.
Right.
So there was a reason, because parents like mine were scared to death. And you know, there was,
but this is
America.
But this is why if Democrat, if the left and progressives make their marches look like the women's march,
exactly,
they're in great shape. And if they start, it starts to look violent, they're in bad shape. That's the, that's a pretty bright line to me.
We also have an example of an actually persuasive protest this morning. The CEO of Uber, Travis Kalanick, who's on Trump's advisory board for business, felt the pressure, not violent pressure, felt the pressure from his consumers, his customers, who were dropping the app and picking up the Lyft app, and he backed off the board. That's the way, if you want to put pressure on people, destroying property and lighting fires and hurting innocent people is not the way to do it.
It's called capitalism. Yeah. Larry O'Connor, final words.
Listen, as a Republican, if you think the Women's March was a great shining moment, I fully endorse the idea of Ashley Judd and Madonna speaking on behalf of the party of the Democrats going forward. Also, this idea, you're conflating the popularity of Donald Trump with his policies. Mark Hemingway wrote in the Weekly Standard this week that this is an underreported story, but the executive order on immigration that caused all of these protests at the airports that actually people like me were got very upset about because we missed our flights, that's actually a very popular executive order right now. Trump may not be popular, but the policy, that executive order is not unpopular with the American people. So don't confuse the two. He may be unpopular, but his policies are hitting the right note.
Again, I've seen so many conflicting polls. I don't know whether we say he's unpopular or
not. Well, I'm citing the Reuters poll from yesterday.
So. What was the Reuters poll yesterday?
It said 49%.
Approved.
Which was the larger number, approved of the immigration order.
Yeah, 49
approved.
No, I was talking about his approval rating.
His approval rating. Listen, he's not a likable guy all the time. I mean, he's a vulgar man, let's face it. So he's never going to reach that popularity. And also, by the way, he's got such a low bar right now. All he has to do is not be Hitler. And so many voters are going to say, well, what's wrong with this guy? He's not that bad.
A new standard in America.
Wow. That is quite a low standard, sir.
Hey, I haven't
We got to go to break. I've got to say Gallup actually showed that to be unpopular by, I think, 59%, 58% disapproved. Reuters said it was popular. Again, you got polls that have Donald Trump at 36%. I saw a poll yesterday, a Democratic poll, that actually had him at 46% approval. So it is a shakedown cruise. We don't know how this is going to end up. And right now, just a lot more questions.
Donald Trump has overshadowed the Super Bowl. We're not talking about, it's Friday. No one's talking about the Super Bowl. I mean, his week, this is an unbelievable week.
And here's the tease. Since we've been talking, Trump has tweeted about Arnold Schwarzenegger, Iran, and Australia.
Tell me, what do you think?
No, that's our tease.
That is quite a tease. Yeah. All right, Larry, thank you so much for being with us. Greatly appreciate it, and thank you for...
Patriots by 10, take the over.
Oh, wow. That is it.
Larry, you got range,
man. Michigan.
Go blue, brother.
There you go.
Let me tell you something, folks. Ever since Trump has been elected, they're all coming out of the woodwork like termites. They're all coming out, all kinds of radicals. Everybody's got something to say. Everybody's upset about something. And he has just brought out the worst. I mean, seriously. I mean, they're all coming out. I mean, this dude is actually some sort of Aryan race punk. I never heard of him either. I don't even know who he is. And I'm surprised that the people at NYU knew who he was. Well, I shouldn't be surprised. It's NYU. But, they're all coming out, and they all got something to say. They all want to do their speeches, and, you know, before you know it, the KKK is going to be, you know, marching down Fifth Avenue, and the Black Panthers are going to be marching down Sixth Avenue, and it's going to be all kinds of freaky people, you know, just running around, yelling and screaming, I don't like this, I don't like that. This stuff is really getting out of hand, folks. I got to tell you, it's really getting out of hand. You know, hopefully it simmers down. And I think that's what Trump is thinking. How do you know Trump? He's probably thinking, oh, yeah, let them freak out. Believe me, you know, they'll calm down after a while. They'll calm down. They'll get used to it. Sure, I imagine they will, because they will have no choice. You know, he's president for the next 4 years. So folks, get over it. You know, get over it. He's president for the next 4 years. If you don't like what he does, then after 4 years, vote the man out. But right now, he is our president. We need to stand behind him, even though I'm speaking for me right now. Even though I don't like him, I'm an ex-military man. And we are taught that whether you like the president or not, you stand behind him. So I have no choice but to stand behind this punk. I don't like him. I like Trump. But not as my president. Not as my president. Now, he has done a couple of things that I will not disagree with. The Mexican wall. I don't disagree with more border control. I don't disagree with stopping people from coming into the country and checking them out first. I don't disagree with that. Okay? And there's a reason for it. Folks, we've all been through 9/11. Orlando, San Bernardino, we've been through it. So yes, I agree with that. You just can't let a rush of people come in here and you don't know who the hell it is. You don't know who the hell they came from. You don't know what their background is. You don't know if they just broke out of prison and just snuck into the line. You don't know if they got fake IDs. You don't know anything. Fake passports. You don't know nothing. So you want to detain them. And you want to have better vetting. I understand that. I get along with that. There's some things I don't agree with. His repealing of the Obamacare. Even though Obamacare wasn't completely... it's good, but there were some loopholes there. If he can come up with something better, then fine. I'm just afraid that the guy's going to start a war because he's too much of a loudmouth. You know, I mean, he's a straightforward individual that doesn't care. You know, he's going to tell you his mind. I actually do not mind that in a president. I don't mind that. I just don't want you thrusting us into a third world war. That's my fear. You start mouthing off to people, you never know. But then again, if he was to, because he's put Iran on notice. Now, if he was to go out, for example, and just... boom, bomb Iran. You know what would happen? Everybody would sit back and take notice. And I'm not talking about the people in America. I'm talking about everybody across the world. They would go, oh, shit. This dude means business. We got another Eisenhower over here. You know what I mean? We've got another Theodore Roosevelt here. This is serious business. This guy means business. And if that's the type of reaction that he receives, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Because this country does need to be protected. We do need to get jobs back into this country. We do need to get manufacturing back into this country. There are a lot of things that we need to do in this country that we haven't done for many years. And I'm not blaming Obama. I'm blaming everybody even beyond Obama. From Nixon on. Politicians have been faking it for years. And this guy has come out and just said, I'm just hell with you. I'm doing this and this and this and this and this because I am for my country. I cannot disagree with that until he does something really stupid. I can't disagree. Listen, every day I wake up, I say to myself, oh my God, Trump is president. Thank God the planet is still here. But you know what? Hey, more power to him if he does it right. You're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, Androids, iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawaquan at your-poetry.com. We're on SoundCloud and Pinterest. And let me give my shout-outs to the ASPCA, the NYPD, the FDNY, Alemannische Freunde in Deutschland. Who did I leave out? I left out a lot of people. I mean, the people that listen to me, my brothers and sisters in the military, all first responders, and also North Shore Animal League. I don't know if Pet Parnes is still kicking it, you know, but I hope they are. And Show Your Soft Side from Baltimore. I think they are. SOS Wildlife of India. Folks, I might be back. I might not be back. I'm stuttering because I've been doing a lot of stuff today, and so I'm kind of in a hectic mood. So so I'm kind of like, you know. But anyway, if I'm not back, I'll see you next week. Bye bye. That's not bye bye. Leave the show. That's bye bye. I'll either be back or not. Okay, don't get it twisted.
I apologize if anybody was offended by my use of the N-word in a couple of jokes. I don't use that word often. Sometimes I struggle on whether or not I should use it at all. And I don't believe we should ever use that word to hurt people. But I do believe we should use it to shame our pets. That's just fun for everybody. And it makes sense. If you own a cat that's an asshole, or a parakeet that thinks it's better than you. Oh, you think you better than me? Just because you can fly? Nigga, fuck you! Flying ass nigga wouldn't be shit without me. I buy your bird seed. I buy the scarves you refuse to wear. Wear your scarf, nigga. That's just my favorite thing to say. Wear your scarf, nigga. Like, when would that ever come up? Just very considerate wintertime gang members. Like, don't forget, there's a drive-by tonight, but it is cold and flu season. Wear your scarf, nigga. Protect your neck. Wu-Tang forever.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Teddy R. I'm here with my friend Tawaquan. And we want you to get your ass on together and hang out with us and get right. beat, y'all. Ain't that stupid? Come on, get me. That's right. This is for you, people. I think it's about time for you people to get on it. Shake your stuff like you ain't never had enough. Too groovy for me. Listening to my man Tawa Kwan and mucking up with us and just getting right. I'm about to go backstage and get right. Oh yeah. See you at the next CD.
Good morning. Welcome back to Breakfast Television 745. Thanks for starting your day with us. Lana Hughes from the Winnipeg Humane Society joining us with Cuddles here, who looks like she wants to do anything but right
this
now.
This is Cuddles,
very
yeah.
exciting environment, though. Tell us a little bit about her, first of all. She's up for adoption?
Yeah, she's up for adoption at the Winnipeg Humane Society. She's just over 8 years old.
She's a big girl.
She's a big girl. She's been with us just under a month, so she's looking for a nice home.
So was she surrendered to you? Or
yeah, she surrendered to us. I think it was just her owner wasn't able to take care of her anymore, Aww. So now she's looking for a new home, but she's a really sweet girl. She's
Cuddles.
Really roly-poly and cuddly, as her name might suggest, and she's yeah. actually declawed.
Which is what we're going to talk about today, because yeah. the Winnipeg Humane Society is strongly against that.
That's right. Declawing is a very painful surgery for cats. Not only is the surgery painful, but the recovery process is quite painful.
Because you're saying when they actually do it, they're removing a joint in their foot?
Yeah, it's almost the equivalent of removing the first joint in a human finger. So it's very painful for the cats, and it actually takes away their natural defense system, so it can be quite stressful for them as well.
So it can lead to a number of issues. Yeah. Physically, the way in which they walk or carry themselves could change?
That's right. They might start to put the weight on their hindquarters instead of their front quarters, which could cause arthritis issues, joint and hip issues along the road. So it's just bad news all around.
And you mentioned the stressed and anxious, and that's because you're taking away their main defense mechanism.
That's right. And it's also a release for them. So when a cat wakes up from a nice long nap, they like to stretch out, get those claws out, and it feels really good for them. So when they don't have the claws, that can really bother them.
And it can also change the way they use their litter box?
That's true, yeah. Sometimes they have the association of the claws going in the litter, and if that's painful for them, they might stop using the litter box, so they'll start using your house as a litter box, which is never a good idea.
No, not at all. Okay, so the Winnipeg Humane Society does not support declawing at all, and you had said that there was a vet in Brandon that actually said they will not do it anymore.
Yeah, I believe they're the first vet clinic in Manitoba to outright say they are not doing declawing surgeries anymore.
That's,
so that's
great, because yeah. there are so many options out there, and you brought just a few for us here. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the scratching posts.
This one here.
Okay. Yeah, the thing with scratching posts is it's not really a one-size-fits-all kind of thing, as we all know cats all have their distinct personalities and quirks, so you want to observe where the cat is scratching in your home, what kind of furniture they like to scratch, and you can mimic the texture and the shape with different kinds of scratching posts. So this one's more of a carpet style. This one has a cardboard feel, which is nice in their nails.
And this one you can actually entice. There's a little bit of catnip, so you sprinkle it on there, and then they'll be a little bit more drawn to that.
So if the cat is not too keen on using the scratching post right away, you can sprinkle some catnip or maybe give them some treats to encourage them to start using it.
Excellent. And then there's always the caps, which we've seen before. These ones here that actually kind of just slide over top of the nails?
Yeah, you can put them over the nails. They last about 6 weeks or so, and that way they still have their claws. They're still able to stretch out, but without doing any damage to your furniture or to you.
Now, with these, though, we don't support cats being outside. They should not be roaming outside.
That's right, yeah.
But this can actually... These are not ideal for outdoor cats.
No, because when they are outdoors, you want to make sure they have their nails, just because it is that defense mechanism for them.
That's all they have.
Yeah.
So, great option for indoor cats, though, and, like, Miss Cuddles here, who's looking for a home. You can find her at the Winnipeg Humane Society, 45 Hurstway. Thank you so much, Lena.
Thank you.
Right now, we'll check in with Fiona, filling in for Jenna.